Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
I think it's so amazing that so much of what I feel God is wanting to do tonight has already started. But can you feel that it's started? We're not quite there yet. But I'm really trusting that by the end of tonight, God is going to come in and do some amazing things. Have you come with expectation to church tonight? Hey, good. Some of you. I heard a rumor about exams, but it's apparently just a rumor, right? Just a rumor. So we got a full night tonight. Awesome. Other ushers. Finished, thanks. Cool, can I pray for us and then we'll get started. Oh God, we just want to come and honor you for what you've already started to do amongst us. Thank you that you're the one who softens the hardest heart. And we recognize tonight, God, that so many times we have hard hearts. And we need you to soften our hearts, God. So many times we are blinded and we need you to unveil us so that we can see again. And God, so we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and be the master surgeon in our hearts tonight. To come and cut what needs to be cut, to come and plant what needs to be planted. To come and establish what needs to be established. We thank you that this church is built on Christ, our rock, God, and that you are building your church. And that we get to be a part of it. We love you, God. We love you, Lord. And we thank you that we can only love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So I'm excited to share. This is my first time preaching in the evening, so I'm excited. I normally come to the morning services with my family, but I'm normally with worship. I'm here in the evenings. So who's been in church the last couple of weeks, last week or the week before? Awesome. Many of you. Be a good person. What did Tosca say? Be a good person and come to church. And Pastor C.S. has been, oh no, Tosca did do it. She said she was going to put pastor in front of my name. I asked her not to, but she did. This is not Pastor Jeff, for those who were here a couple of months ago. I was renamed. It's my new spiritual name. No, it's not. But in the last couple of weeks, Pastor C.S. has been speaking about the spirit of Elijah. And we've been looking at the life of Elijah. We've been looking at the life of John the Baptist because so much of what Elijah established was also established through John's life. And I've been so encouraged just to again realize that God is busy establishing a generation with that same heart, that same culture as Elijah, which is to prepare the way of the Lord. That same hunger for God. We want more of Him and that same longing for Him to come back. That Maranatha that's in our hearts that says, Jesus, we desire for your return. He spoke a lot about repentance because often when we think of Elijah and when we think of John the Baptist, that's what we think, repentance. But what was amazing was, as he said, repentance was the fruit of their ministry. So in other words, as a result of their ministry, many people repented, but the heart of their message was not so much repentance as behold. The heart of the message was, if we behold God, or in the words of John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As we behold God, then repentance is something that flows from there. And what I love about John the Baptist, it just feels like his whole life just pointed to Christ. I feel like he was almost like the first worship leader mentioned in the New Testament. He just like everything about him, his message, his life, it pointed to one who was coming, who he was not worthy to untie his shoelace or his sandals. But he came, he had that desire to prepare the way for the one who was coming, which was Jesus. So tonight we're going to be speaking about the power of praise. A lot has already happened in our singing. And really that whole beholding is at the center of praise. It's because praise is making ourselves aware and drawing attention to the only one who is worthy of praise. It's that whole aspect of just looking and seeing I think George mentioned it now in the scripture. He said, you know, fixing our eyes, setting aside every weight and fixing our eyes on Jesus. I don't know how many of you actually know this, but this church, Shofar, started in this town. This was the first Shofar church 25 years ago. And this church started not so much in a room, but with a bunch of crazy people worshiping and praying on the streets of Stellenbosch. It started with people engaging in prophetic acts of praise in the streets of Stellenbosch. They thought we were crazy then. They still think we're crazy today. Those who've been in church for long enough would have had those conversations. Oh, you're from Shofar. Okay. Gets a little bit awkward. I've been around this church since 2004. But I love to hear the stories of the people who were there like in 92. You know, of just taking the praise of God to the streets of Stellenbosch. And Stellenbosch in those days was a very hard place. I think in many ways it's still a very hard place. And what I find is that many times we get, just because our circumstances, or in this case, this town is quite a hard place, we get intimidated into silence. And we get intimidated into silence around the three things that really God has blessed us as a church with. The one is praise and worship, you know, the presence of God. We prize the presence of God above anything else. We will stop anything if God starts to move, because we understand that it's all about his presence. And the other thing that we get intimidated with is with our intercession, you know, our prayer. And along with that comes that heart for the nations, because going to the nations starts with praying for the nations. The other thing we get intimidated by is we become silent in our prophetic voice. And God has really called this church to be a prophetic voice in this nation. So I'm just, as I was preparing for tonight, God just kept showing me this picture of a little match. And what I'm just trusting for is that this little match gets lit. And, you know, a match on its own, imagine I'm holding a match and a tiny little flame. It's very insignificant. Doesn't mean much. Doesn't do much. But picture a house that's got a gas leak. And that whole house fills with gas. And then you light that match. What's going to happen? Yeah. Kaboom. And that's what I'm just expecting God to do tonight. You know, as we speak about something as simple as praise, it's just a spark of faith. And then God is the one who just lets that flame burn and keep burning. Because isn't it true that the more we see of God, the more we know God, the more we realize we don't know anything. And we want to know more. I don't know about you, when I read scripture, the deeper I go into scripture and understanding scripture and my heart to understand it, the more I'm like, I don't know anything. You know, and you feel like you need to start all over. But that's just the nature of God, because he's limitless. There's no end to him. There's no end to his character. He just goes on and on. And so our praise just goes on and on. And our words, we realize how few words we actually have compared to the power and the limitlessness of God. And the reality is that one of the main reasons God commands us to praise him is because he knows that we're going to die spiritually if we don't praise him. It's not so much that, it's actually not at all that he needs our praise. God is self-existent, self-sufficient. Everything he needs is in that perfect unity of the Godhead. He needs nothing. He doesn't need our praise, but he knows that we need to praise God, because everything else in our lives is fighting for our attention. Everything else. I like to think of it as everything in my life is in a competition to take God's place in my life. And that's the power of praise. So that we don't become overwhelmed by the things that are trying to gain our attention. But with praise, we see God and we give him what only he deserves. And what I'm really trusting for, what I really believe God wants to do tonight, is I believe that the Father wants to set people free tonight. That he wants to set us free as we praise him. You know, and you don't always need somebody to counsel you into freedom. You don't always need somebody to lay hands on you. Yes, God does use that, definitely. But I just believe sometimes just being in God's presence, he just wants to set people free tonight. And I believe he's going to do that. Amen? Awesome. So we're going to chat a bit about praise, and then we're going to put it into action at the end. So that's the space there. I think maybe let's just pack up all the chairs. And then clicking. Who's clicking? Okay. So before I go any deeper and we speak about praise, I've been throwing the word around a lot, but what does praise mean? And praise, just the word as it is, it means to speak well of someone or something with excitement, with enthusiasm, you know? And that's true of God, that's true of your favorite sports team, it's true of your favorite meal, it's true of your favorite dress, girls, I don't know. We can praise many things, but tonight obviously we're speaking about the praise of God. Often in the past when I've asked people, what does praise mean? They often give the answer, it doesn't mean kind of to give thanks to God. And thanksgiving is definitely a massive part of praise, and it's often combined with praise, but it's not quite the same. We're going to get there now. But one word that I find sums praise up so well is a Hebrew word. You know, in the original text of the Bible, Hebrew, there's several words that are used for praise. Our English translations just translate all of them as praise. But the one that's used the most is one halal, which is not halal, not the food, okay? And it means to flash forth light. That's one of the connotations of it. And immediately, I've got a bit of a vivid imagination. As soon as I see that sentence, have you been to like a theater, or if you've been to a school production, or maybe you've been to Artscape or something? And then at the beginning of the evening, everyone takes their seats, and then the lights start to dim, and then it goes complete blackout. And then the curtains open, and one person walks on the stage, and then suddenly the spotlight on this person. And isn't it an amazing tool that there is in theater just to create, just to help us to focus on one person? Literally everything else is blacked out, and it's just this one person that we see. And we pay attention to what they say and to what they sing or whatever. And that's the image I get when we think of flashing this light on God, is we literally, it's blackout around him. And we just, with praise, we're putting the attention only on him, and everything else fades away. From that word, we get the word hallelujah, halal for praise and yah for God. So when you're saying hallelujah, you're saying praise God, praise God. Say hallelujah to the person next to you. Okay. Once or twice, I want us to have a bit of a conversation tonight. So this is the first one. Just with the person next to you. I'm only going to give you a minute because we don't have a lot of time. So I'm going to give you 1 minute. What is the difference between praise and thanksgiving? One person can take ownership of that one. And the other person, what is the difference between praise and worship? Are you ready? 1 minute. Let's go. Okay, you should switch to the other person if you haven't already. All right. Hopefully we got some ideas there. If I had to sum it up as simply as I could for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is praise made personal. All right? So when we give thanks to God, we're responding to some praiseworthy either attribute, in other words, his character, you know, his love, his grace, his mercy, or some praiseworthy thing that he's done, you know, the fact that he sent his son for us. We're responding to these praiseworthy things that we have personally experienced. That's when we come with thanksgiving, because it's one thing to read in God's word that he's good, and then to trust for faith to know that and to praise him for that and say, yes, God is good. It's another thing when we actually experience his goodness in our lives. When we experience the fact that I was a sinner as far as I could be from God, and because of his goodness, when I was as unlovable as I could have been, he sent his son. Then thanksgiving is the result, right? Because we've experienced it personally. So that's thanksgiving. I'm just going very quickly with this. Worship, essentially the difference between praise and worship is one of direction. So we've already said that praise is to speak well of God. And so you can see it's more indirect. We're speaking about God as opposed to speaking to him. Whereas worship is more towards him. Worship is generally more personal. It's generally more intimate, and it's more, as I said, towards him. And so if you think about this for a second, yes, we can praise God when we're on our own, because when we're doing that, we're reminding ourselves of who he is and what he's done. But if we're speaking about God, there should be somebody to whom we're speaking about God, right? Does that make sense? So that's why generally praise is more of a corporate activity. It's more something that happens together. Because what we're doing is we're speaking about God, and we're not only speaking to ourselves, but we're speaking to one another. And that's why, you know, if we sing "How Great Is Our God," you can literally turn to the person next to you and say, "How great is our God? Sing with me, how great." Right? So praise is this amazing thing that we have as a body. It builds us up. It encourages us in a different way to worship. It builds and encourages the body. I hope that makes sense. Okay, so we've already spoken about the fact that praise means to speak well of God, but I think we all know that it's so much more than just the words that we speak. It's so much more. We can all say the right things, but it can just be lip service. You know, there's a powerful scripture. Jesus refers to Isaiah when he says in Matthew 15, "There's people that honor me with their lips, but with their heart, they're far from me." Isn't that true? That we can say all the right things, but our hearts can be far from God. And Jesus often refers to the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, which means that we put on a front. We say the right things, we do the right things, but our secret life is not the same as our public life. And so when we're speaking about praise, it goes so much deeper than just what we say and what we do. It starts, as I said already, starts with a revelation of God. Praise starts with having a revelation of God, of beholding God. All right, and what I often find is that so many times we, especially when it comes to praise, is that we can fall into the expression of praise, which I mean the clapping and the dancing and the shouting and the jumping. We can fall into all these expressions of praise without actually knowing, truly knowing, who it is that we're praising. And especially in our charismatic culture, really, because it's so easy to get swept up in the motions. It's so easy to get swept up in the music. That's why myself as a musician and as a worship leader, I'm constantly, it's finding that balance between, yes, we want to worship God with music, but we never want to get so caught up in the music that we actually lose sight of the one that we're worshiping. And I think especially we've got such a performance-driven culture. We grow up in homes and you've got to be the best. You've got to do the, you know, achieve the most. That many of you are probably sitting here tonight and you're like, "James, tell me how to praise. You know, how high must I jump? And how loud must I sing? And how vigorously must I dance?" But it's not so much about the doing. Because if we have a revelation of God, if we truly see him, praise is gonna result. When we see him, praise flows from that place. So we start with the wrong end sometimes. Sometimes we start with, what does praise look like in scripture? And we see the jumping and everything. But that flows from a place of knowing God. And so that's my first challenge to all of us tonight is, do we have a revelation of God? And a revelation in that he blows our minds. Does God blow your mind? Or have we become casual with him? Have we become familiar with him? You know, where we reduce him to a God that fits our boxes and our understanding. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." It really starts with the fear of the Lord. Somebody, an author I respect a lot is A.W. Tozer. He lived kind of the first half of the 1900s. We ministered a lot in that time. And he said some harsh things to the church back then. So I sometimes wonder, what would he say to the church now? And he speaks about the fact that many times we kind of create this image of God that's based on what we're comfortable with. And he says this, "This God we have made, and because we have made him, we can understand him. Because we have created him, he can never surprise us. never overwhelm us, nor astonish us, nor transcend us. When last did God surprise you, or astonish you, or overwhelm you? Or have we made him so small in our minds that he's actually just part of our imagination, you know, where we're actually following what do we believe about God, as opposed to what Scripture says? Praise starts with a revelation of the God of Scripture. All right, we're going to have another quick discussion, another minute. I love speaking about culture, and it's really important for us to be aware of culture because culture influences us. So just quickly, speak about your church background. I want, in specifically around praise, what did praise look like where you came from? You know, maybe you didn't grow up in church, say that. Maybe you grew up with ladies with lint and flags, like myself. Maybe you grew up in a very traditional, conservative church. What did praise look like when you were growing up? All right. Let's stop there. I grew up in a very charismatic church. I was terrified the first time I saw somebody fall over, but then it became part of my life. Who else grew up in like a charismatic church? Okay, we'll pray for everybody afterwards. Our culture is important, and so much of the way we've been raised shapes what we believe. And so that's why it's so important for us to evaluate, what does our worship culture look like? What does our praise culture look like? And how does it compare to what we see in Scripture? I'm not only speaking about church. I know we spoke more about church now, but what does our worship culture at home look like with our families? What does it look like when we go to work or to class tomorrow morning? What does it look like in our relaxation, like when we're just hanging around with friends? What does our praise culture look like? And if I think about praise, there's one scripture that always comes to my mind first. It's by David. It's a psalm from David. So not just some context of when he wrote the psalm. It's Psalm 34. The man was running for his life. He was running from Saul. Saul was trying to kill him, so he's running for his life. As if that's not bad enough, he goes to hide at a Philistine king. And then this king realizes, I've got a pretty valuable hostage here. So he actually wants to kind of keep him hostage. So David has to pretend to be mad, like crazy in the head until eventually they're like, this guy's crazy. Let's just let him go. And then he was let loose. And then in that place, he wrote the psalm. And the first verse of the psalm, Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Isn't that amazing? The praise of God continually in my mouth. Not just on Sundays, not just when I have a quiet time. The praise of God continually in my mouth. And so, let's quickly chat about the power of our words. A lot of the sermons that have been preached the last while, it's kind of the heart behind many of them is about living a consecrated life, right? I think many of us want to live a consecrated life, a life that's set apart to God, a life that is holy and that's pleasing to God. And part of living a consecrated life means having a consecrated mouth. Keeping a guard over the words that come out of our mouths. And actually, not only our mouths, but also our hearts. And our eyes. Because what we allow in through our eyes, it just marinades there until it influences our hearts and then it comes out of our mouths. What goes in must come out, right? If we're wanting to live a consecrated life, we need to keep a guard over our eyes, over our hearts, over our mouths. Very challenging scripture. The whole book of James is challenging. I could choose any. I had nothing to do with it, I promise. But James 3, verse 9 to 11 says, with the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? You know, when I think of the scripture in traffic, Those who've driven with me have, this is where my unsanctified work out your salvation with fear and trembling comes out, is in traffic. Because I'll maybe have a worship CD on, bless the Lord, oh my soul. What are you doing? Like if somebody cuts in front of me or something, and then I immediately think of James 3 verse 9. I was just praising God. I was literally just blessing him. And then somebody came in front and then I was upset with that person. So please forgive me if I've ever given you a glare or anything in traffic. But we need to put a guard over our mouths to realize that bitter and sweet water, fresh and salt water cannot come from the same place. And so in many ways, praise is like a spiritual discipline. You know, if you had to imagine faith like a muscle, how do you exercise faith? With the discipline, one of the ways is with the discipline of praise. We make our faith strong through praise. And so I believe after tonight, I'm really trusting that many of us will actually make this a spiritual discipline in our lives to begin to praise God. Because with praise, we remind ourselves of who he is and what he's done. And that fuels our faith. And the fact is we can't afford to stay silent. The world is preaching at us. We're constantly being preached at. And so we can't afford to stay silent. And yet many of us have become silent. Okay, so let's quickly look at how scripture says we should praise God. Are you all still with me? Okay, good stuff. I'm sorry if I offended anyone with my traffic story. I'm just showing you that I really am not perfect yet. So let's quickly look at what scripture says about how we praise God. Throughout scripture, you see people praising God with their voices and with their bodies. You know, if so many times people say, oh, I'm an introvert, so I can praise God like this. And yes, you can praise God like that. I'm not saying you can't. But something, if our hearts are overflowing with the praise of God, it's gonna find a way out. It's like a volcano, you know, it's gonna erupt at some point. And there's really something powerful about using our voices and using our bodies to praise God. That's why we see it throughout scripture. I mean, Mark 12, Jesus saying, you know, love the Lord your God with everything inside of you, including your strength. We can love him with the strength of our bodies. Or Psalm 103, the beginning of it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. There's something powerful that happens when we get our whole body involved. Okay, so let's look at some of the way scripture says we must express praise. And you probably did many of them tonight already. First one, singing. Psalm 100 verse 2. Not whooping, singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. How amazing to think that we take it so for granted. Yes, we sing before the sermon on a Sunday, or we sing when we're worshiping God at home, but there's something powerful about singing. It's a gift from God. Music is a gift from God. I always think about it. How else, I don't know how many people are here tonight, say 600. How else can you get 600 people to say the same thing at the same time? You add a melody and you add rhythm. You give them a song to sing, and suddenly all of us at the same time are declaring the same thing. There's something powerful about that. Because as I said earlier, praise is corporate. Praise involves encouraging one another. And the amazing thing is it doesn't stop there. It's not like we can only sing other people's songs or declare other things. God puts new songs in our hearts. Brian's prompted it tonight. You know, sing a new song to God. Psalm 40. What does that say? He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. You know, God has given you a song to sing that nobody else can sing. And my question is, are you singing it? I'm not saying a specific song. I'm just saying, are you singing the songs that God has placed in your mouth? All right, that's singing. Lifting hands. Psalm 134, verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Bless the Lord. something powerful about just lifting our hands. We're getting our bodies involved. We're saying, we're not only saying with our mouths, God, you're exalted. We're saying it with our bodies. We're saying, God, you are high and lifted up. You're above me. Your ways are higher. Your thoughts are higher. We're surrendering to him, saying, you are great. I am small. That's what we're doing when we're lifting up our arms. Dancing. I'm not going to demonstrate this one. We'll all demonstrate it a bit later. Amen? Did you know you can dance in church? Are you sure? Psalm 149 verse 3. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises with the timbrel and the harp. I don't know if you brought your timbrel or harp tonight, but you at least brought your body to dance, right? Dancing. There's something powerful about letting go of our self-consciousness and just dancing like a madman before God. Clapping and shouting. Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Let's give a clap. Think about it. Clapping is the loudest noise you can make with any two body parts. You're all trying to think of other ways, I know. But really, there's something powerful about clapping. It's just making this loud noise. Okay, you can stop clapping. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. There's something amazing that happens when we shout to God. Not just like it's a big noise, but there's something that like shakes in the spirit when we shout to God, when we lift up a spiritual shout. Instruments, Psalm 150. You can put it on the screen, but trumpets and lutes and harps, timbrels, stringed instruments, flutes, loud cymbals. We can have drums in church. That's amazing. All the drummers always love this scripture. But we can praise God literally with instruments. And so I've mentioned these different ways of praising God, and such a beautiful example of praising God like this is in 2 Samuel. When, long story short, the Ark of the Covenant had been stolen by the Philistines, and then it, after many years, came back to Jerusalem, and David, the king, was just so overjoyed that the Ark of the Covenant, which kind of symbolized the presence of God, was coming back into Jerusalem. So he just goes mad. He goes like a madman. He's jumping up and down and he's whirling. He's hardly wearing clothes. I don't quite know why he wasn't wearing clothes. You know, maybe you're more flexible to praise God when you don't have that many clothes on. But he's just going crazy. And his wife comes up to him and she says, David, paraphrase, you're the king of the nation. Think about your reputation. Everybody is watching you. The people are watching you. What are you doing? And so this king of the nation, he says to her, I will become even more undignified than this. The heart of David, overjoyed by the presence of God. And yet we're so restricted so many times. We hold back so much because we're so self-conscious. But I'm trusting for that self-consciousness to go tonight. Something else, I love this quote from Smith Wigglesworth, lived kind of late 1800s, early 1900s, amazing man of God. And he was asked how he gets up in the morning. And he says this, I jump out of bed, I dance before the Lord for at least 10 to 12 minutes, high speed dancing. I jump up and down and I run around my room telling God how great he is, how glad I am to be associated with him and to be his child. Amen. High speed dancing. Richard Wade is one of the worship leaders. He always suggests doing stretches before you do high speed dancing because you don't want a praise injury. Especially first thing in the morning. But what I love about this is not so much the emphasis on what he does, but why he does it. You can see that in there. Telling God how great he is, how glad I am to be associated with him and to be his child. That's a man who has a revelation of what it means to be a son of God. And that results in the kind of praise that he expresses. So I really want to encourage you. I want to urge you, as I said, we need to make this a part of it's a spiritual discipline to praise God. When we spend time with God, spend time in praise. Whether it's here in church, whether it's tomorrow morning when you have your quiet time, whether it's in the car, whether it's at work, learn to praise God. You don't have to be a musician. You don't have to play an instrument. You can put a CD on, or way more powerful, take the word of God. You know, take the Psalms. Just read the Psalms aloud or sing the Psalms aloud. The Psalms were designed to be sung. They're very easy to sing new songs to. Sing the word of God. Sing a new song. Dance before God. Close the door. Make sure nobody's going to come in. Close the curtains. Dance before God. I did it last night for the first time in a while. And just as I was praying for tonight, God led me to dance before him. And I'm glad nobody was watching. But I just realized again, like, it's such a powerful way of connecting with the heart of God is to dance where you, God, it's not about me. It's all about you. All right. So as we praise God, we remind ourselves about who he is and what he's done. If we praise him together like this, or when you're in small group on Wednesday or wherever, we remind one another, we encourage one another. But lastly, and this is where I want to end tonight, we remind the spiritual realm of who God is and what God has done. I truly believe that God sets people free when they praise him. I've seen it happen so many times, and I believe he wants to do it tonight. But what I find is so many times in the Western church is we're so fixated and caught up and distracted by the physical and the tangible and the material that we're completely unaware of anything going on in the spiritual realm. You know, if a doctor or a scientist doesn't explain it, then I don't believe it. But the reality is that there's a spiritual realm and there's a war going on in that realm. Ephesians 6 is the chapter where it speaks about the armor of God and why we need to wear the armor of God. And it says there, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. As I was preparing for tonight, I know that there's people sitting here tonight and you're trusting God for a spiritual deliverance. Like whether it's for yourself personally, or there's people who are standing in faith for your families, or there's people who are standing in faith for your communities, or for your neighborhoods. And what I want to say is, start to praise God. Start to declare who God is. There's power in lifting up the name of God above our families, above our communities, above our neighborhoods. Remember what happened 25 years ago in this town? People just began to praise God in the streets of Stellenbosch. And look where we are today, 25 years later. People who were faithful to praise God. Because when we praise him, we've got the opportunity to come into agreement with the word of God. So that's why when you praise God, praise him with the word of God, all right? Take the word and declare who he is. Because a key for deliverance is the presence of God. A key for deliverance, many of you are trusting for deliverance, whether it's personally or in your families, a key is the presence of God. Because in the presence of God, as we praise him, we see him. As we have revelation of him, he begins to set us free. Because our primary focus, so many times, you know, when it comes to deliverance, the primary focus is, you know, what's the name of the demon or the stronghold. But our primary focus is not the name of the demon. Primary focus is the one who makes the demons flee. Amen? I love James 3 verse 7 says, submit to God, resist the devil and he'll flee. What's first in that statement? Submit to God. All right, so I really want to make this clear that I'm not praising praise. I'm not saying put your trust in your faith in praise. Or in faith. You know, sometimes we have faith in faith. We're putting our trust in the one that we're praising. He is the one who sets us free. Not the praise. The one that we are praising is the one who sets us free. I'm running out of time. I want to read two quick stories in the New Testament that I think demonstrate this so well. The first one is, when Peter, you know, the disciples were in a boat and this massive storm comes up and Jesus comes walking on the sea and Peter says, Lord, if it's you, let me walk to you. And so Jesus says, come. And then he starts walking on the water. Imagine what that must feel like. He starts walking on the water. And then when did he begin to sink? When he saw the wind and when he saw the waves. And that's what praise does. Praise keeps our eyes fixed on Jesus. Because as soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, that's when he began to sink. But praise keeps our eyes fixed on Him. And there's so many people, I believe, who are anxious and fearful and feeling heavy. And I really believe a key for your deliverance lies in your mouth. Beginning to praise God. Because with praise, we turn our eyes. We turn our affection, our attention to Jesus. And so many times we feel this heaviness and so on because, you know, we get distracted and we take our eyes off Him just for a moment and we get distracted. And our faith takes a knock. But how do we stir our faith again? We do it by praise, by declaring who He is. Pastor C.S. mentioned in his sermon about offense. There's so many of us sitting with offended hearts. And that offense often comes when we're inward looking. Or we're looking at our circumstances or we're looking to ourselves. But man was not designed to receive praise. Man was designed to give praise. Amen? Philippians 4, you can go and read it at home. 6-7 says, don't be anxious about anything. But present your requests to God with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the key because it activates our faith to remember what He's done. Okay, and then the last story that I want to share. This is just so powerful for me. Paul and Silas, they were walking through a town. They cast out a demon from a girl, and then it caused this massive commotion. So then eventually they were beaten, and they were dragged into prison. And so now they're sitting in prison. And put yourself in their place for a moment. You know, you've just been doing God's work, and for it, you get beaten and imprisoned. What would you be doing? I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd be doing godly things. But it says there, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. In that place, they were praising God. And then what happens? The prison doors open. It's just such a beautiful demonstration of what, as we praise God, as we remember who He is and what He's done, He opens those prison doors. I think many of you know that we're working on a new album, and so many of the songs that are coming out in this album speak about this thing of praising God in every season. And I've been thinking a lot about it, and how do you learn? I think many of us, if I had to ask who wants to learn to praise God in every season, we'd all raise our hands. But how do you do that? You go through every season, and you learn to praise God in that season. Something I've been praying about for myself is, God, I don't want to move from this season of my life into the next without having learned to praise You here. Because I don't want to get to a point where I realize that I'm through a season and I look back and I actually, God, I missed it. I was so happy for the next phase or the next season. I didn't learn to praise You in that space. You know, so whether I'm going through great success and there's blessing on my relationships, praise God there. If I'm going through difficult times, if I'm going through suffering, if I'm going through loneliness, learn to praise God there. There's so many of us who we desire for our circumstances to change before we begin to praise God. And I believe the answer is to begin to praise God in your circumstances. It doesn't mean we can't praise Him honestly. It doesn't mean we're denying what's going on around us. We're not blind to our circumstances. But the fact that we're going through difficult things doesn't change the worth of God. In every season of our lives, God is worthy of our worship. And what I've also found is, what's so amazing is that the presence of God brings perspective. Have you experienced that? You know, as you praise God, as you worship Him, suddenly those things which seemed so huge are really small. As we elevate Him, as our minds actually have this correct image of how great He is, suddenly those things, it's like that spotlight I mentioned at the beginning. As we shine that spotlight on Him, everything else fades into the background. So who's ready to praise God tonight? Awesome. Let's all stand together.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.